unfathomably holy. You are such a good God. Lord, I can't figure out for the life of me why you have chosen to put your Spirit in us and use us for your glory. I'm appreciative, but I can't figure it out. I know my heart. I know my weaknesses better than anybody else on the earth when I'm being honest with myself. And you know every single one of those things. But Lord, your scriptures are so full of this truth that, God, you take broken men and women. I just can't ever say it enough. I don't know why I would ever stop saying it. The anthem of your word, God, is that you redeemed your broken people. And those people sit in this room today. God, your people, and there's two facets of them. There's ones who know it in this room and ones who don't know it. And Lord, it doesn't matter. Lord, I know that you have us here together for a reason. And Lord, you have so much more for our lives than what's been handed to many of us, to any of us. Lord, won't you speak that to us today? And Lord, I pray in my deepest prayer, Lord Jesus, is that we would keep the main thing, and we would obey, Lord Jesus, no more years of broken religiousness, but a good and holy religion that is undefiled, Lord Jesus, and pure and perfect, and one that we love Jesus, and we love him so much, Lord. We love you so much that your Spirit in us, we would actually obey. And we would live a life that gives you glory, and we would be healed, and we would allow you in to break open the deepest darknesses of our hearts and bring light to them. That's the key today, God, is there isn't a thing in any of us that you don't want to and will heal if we're open. God, I don't know how to pray this, but Lord, I pray for a Holy Spirit openness like we have never encountered, so that people would truly be set free. No more excuses. No more chains around our neck. No more bondage of the past identifying who we are. Just freedom. Just freedom. So God, I pray that you would come, speak to us today. That you would get broken mouthpieces like me out of the way. And that you would just come, and that today isn't a church service. Today is a Holy Spirit-filled meeting with the Almighty God church service. Meet us here today. Open our ears. Open our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. This church said, amen. Well, we are ending today our series on the Holy Spirit. And so we began this series of Pentecost, which is almost 6 months ago, just talking about the Holy Spirit and who he is. So when we started off, we talked about who he was and that he is God and that he is a part of this triune God, God, Father, and Holy Spirit. They are one God, three different parts. And so he is what his characteristics are. He can be grieved. We can live in him or not in him. He's this person, and we believe that it is the most important / abused piece of doctrine in all of the church history. And so, if you don't know what it is to be a follower of Jesus, nobody's impressed with believing in Jesus. We're impressed with people who follow Jesus. And so believing in Jesus is fine, but demons and the devil believe in Jesus. People who love him and know what his sacrifice was, they follow Jesus. And so when you follow Jesus and give him your life, and then the scriptures say that he fills you with his Holy Spirit, who by definition is him, God with us, God in us. You want to talk about Emmanuel, Hosanna, God with us. God is with us inside of us here. And so this is the most important thing I've learned next to my salvation in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I am dirty, I am messed up, I am jacked up. You get it. But in Jesus, regardless of that, I'm new. I'm new. That's what the Bible says. Now, me, do I receive that quickly? Yay, I'm new for the first minute that was revealed to me. No, it's a process. That's the process. But I know that now everything has changed in my life. My self-worth and my heart and my abilities are no longer on what I can tangibly do for myself. And so preaching through this has been a whirlwind because we started through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are essentially, and this is the last time you have to hear me say this for a long time. By the way, all of this sermon series has been being transferred into a part of our new discipleship curriculum. This will be a section on what it is to live by the Holy Spirit. But this is the most important thing we can come into. And the fruit of the Spirit basically is what? Just for the last time this month, I swear, I won't ask you again till next Pentecost. What is it to be have fruit of the Spirit? Look at me, I'm an apple, spiritually. What is it? Yeah, it's just as simple as we can get it. Holy Spirit fruit is outward signs that you are inwardly changed and led by God. And so this is what they are. Everybody open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. You should like have this down. Galatians 5, 22, 23. Did you know that if you leave bleach on your head for a long amount of time, it burns you and creates sores? Did you know that? I learned that also. Now I have more heart for you, dear ladies, who go through the pain and anguish of dyeing your hair just to look so pretty. By the way, I'm a naturalist at heart, which is weird because I'm not into hair dyeing and makeup and all that stuff. Just, I'm not doctrinally or necessarily kind of, there are some things in there, but like the most beautiful my wife is like in the morning, you know, with crusty eyes, she's got chunks in her face, slobber down her face. I'm like, oh girl, you look so good. She's like, shut up. And so to me, that is the most beautiful part of my wife is like that. You know, I don't like all the rest of the stuff, but that's just a personal thing for me. So, women, I think you're beautiful, just seriously, just the way you are. And so, receive that. Amen. All right, so Galatians 5, 22 through 23, I'm just going to read it. Here it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and why don't you guys just tell me, the fruit of the Spirit is? Read the last part. Against such things there is no law. And so we covered what it was to have Holy Spirit love. God is love. He is the definition of love. And Him in us comes out of us in a way that we love people God's way, right? And then joy, I don't even know what the heck that is. Joy is God's joy, meaning we can have contentment and joy no matter what circumstance we go through because He is our rock. Amen? The next part was patience, which was a really easy one for all of us to hold on to. Patience is God is so patient with us, amen, is that we receive His patience and we become people that are patient, no longer about my agenda and all these things that are going on in Holy Spirit theory. And then kindness and goodness. Remember we talked about kindness and goodness, this deeper kind of servitude goodness. And then we talked about faithfulness. What is it to be a Holy Spirit-filled man or woman who is faithful? I mean, you can be depended on, and you are a man of honor and a woman of integrity, and we are just faithful to do what we say we do. We don't make promises. We just actually do what we say we're going to do. Amen? That's what it is to be faithful. Last week, we covered gentleness, which, you know, we have to all be a bunch of little lambs, right? Running around, flucking in the field. That's not true either. But gentleness, the gentleness of Christ. Remember, the word that we studied in the Greek was it is bridled power. But not bridled power in a bad way. Bridled power in a good way that's usable. A wild horse is great to look at, but he is only beneficial to the worker when he has been tamed to the point where he's still powerful, but he's bridled by his master. He's bridled to be able to be used beneficially, and in our case, for the kingdom. Amen? So that kind of gentleness in this one. y'all, I don't know where you're at with stuff. Maybe you have this mastered, but to me, this is going to be the most difficult one for all of us. This is Holy Spirit-filled self-control. Everyone say self-control. Look at your neighbor and go, self-control? You judgmental ninnies. I can't believe you did that. Let's just talk about this a little bit and begin, and we're gonna break into this and pray that the Holy Spirit just leaves us all weeping. The word, this is literally what the Greek definition means. It speaks of a power of lordship. It literally means being able to hold on to oneself and to get a grip of yourself in control. It refers to restraining of passions and appetites that originate from the old self. So are there things that originate from the new self that need self-control, like love, joy, peace? Any of those things? Against the such thing, there are no law. You're an elder of a church. Come on. But the key is, there are, when you become a believer, what happens? All of your internal desires and fleshly things, you never lust again, right? You just never I love these guys that come to the Lord, like, man, I used to stare at women and be tempted all the time, and I thought when I became a believer that would go away. No, you're still in your flesh. Everything that you battled before, even though you weren't battling, usually still exists on the flip side of faith, right? And some people are like so thrown off by that. They're like clueless. I'm like, well, Jesus gives us, what does he do? We are still under the curse, but we're free from it. Amen? So we're walked on a cursed earth with cursed bodies, but our redemption and salvation is that we go above and beyond that, and we have the Holy Spirit to lead us while we're here on earth. And so flesh still tingles. Amen? To be self-controlled is not to live in bondage to the desires, passions, and appetites of the flesh. The physical human body is a good servant, but a miserable master. How many of you can testify that when you live by your flesh, especially uncontrollable, when you just give into your desires and give into your emotions, that it always works out well? This is what I love about marriages and stuff today. I love when people do this. I just don't feel like we're in love anymore. Seriously. Nobody, well, maybe these two, but nobody keeps that fluttering feeling forever. Love is a process. It's an emotion. It's a God-given Holy Spirit thing, which means it has to be given to us by the Holy Spirit to manifest itself out of us, because it doesn't happen naturally. And so self-control for us is vital. Amen? What it's not. Here's what it's not. And this is just a real simple two bits, is that it is not just some man or woman who can just master themselves in discipline for discipline's sake. And here's the funniest thing about this one that is so key to me, is that I can look at somebody that battles pornography, and I can look at somebody who battles so many things that I battle with. I think I got them all, the rest of them covered. I can look at a man who battles with porn, or someone that has a gambling addiction, and I can go, what's your problem? I don't know why, but my curse when it comes to lust has always been in my mind. I don't care about watching videos. And so I can see things in my mind and keep that there registered, and that's where my lust issues come on. But when it comes to the computer, a few times in my life I've clicked on something stupid, and I was like, huh. And so I can look at a guy who battles with pornography online and go, what is your problem, idiot? Have self-control, man. What is your problem? And then I can also, people can look at me who don't battle with the weight thing, right? Jockey McJockerton, right? He eats a quarter pounder and he gains 2 inches of muscle mass around his arm, right? And he can look at me and go, what is your deal? Just have self-control. Have a little discipline. What is your problem? It's just like those of us who deal with mental illness between those who don't deal with mental illness. It's easy to look at someone who's bipolar and just go, hey, why don't you just calm down? Why don't you just shut up and calm down? Why are you tripping all the time? Do you hear what I'm saying? This is so, in dealing with hardened hearts and sexuality, it's so easy to look at other people and go, man. Here's the thing, is that you can't gauge people through your understanding of a certain battle unless you want them to do that back at you. We all have self-control issues. Is anybody in the house? We all have self-control issues. And so the easy thing is, that's why the scripture talks about having plank eye syndrome, right? If you're going to go to your brother, make sure you take this ginormous log out of your eye and don't smack the dude when, you know what I'm saying, when he's got a speck, because you need to get yourself under control and see things for as they really are. We go to each other in love, we go to each other in encouragement, and even in a hard word sometimes, but when we step in a way of righteousness, we forgot that we all battle self-control. I would love to sit down with every single one of us, if you're going, And here's the funny thing is that I know right now as I say this, none of you are really going, what do I really battle with in self-control? I really can't think of anything that I battle with in self-control. Is there anybody here? We might just turn this whole sermon around. You come up here and talk to us. So think about it right now for a second. What is it that is just completely, you just feel so lost in when it comes to self-control? It's so hard. Why is self-control important? Here's what the scripture says. Proverbs 25:28 says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." And so you get the idea of a picture of a city, especially in these times. We don't have this here, but when Jerusalem's walls were torn down and destroyed, what inevitably could happen and did happen to them over and over and over again? They would be plumaged and pillaged over and over and over again. They had open walls. There was no protection. And so their existence was just this completely give and take life of destruction because they had no protection built around them so they would be able to sustain attacks from the enemy. This is the same thing for us. You and me who live lives of battling self-control and not giving ourselves over, we are a city on a hill spiritually with no walls, no protection, and the enemy just keeps doing this. He is running laps around you and me over and over and over again, and we're always like in this crisis mode. Even as a believer, especially today as believers, we're like, because there's no walls. And so this morning, what we're talking about is this little quote. "A man or woman who has the freedom of Christ will still walk in bondage if they do not allow the Holy Spirit to lead them in self-control." This, my friends, is why that I believe there are so many believers, people that are trying to follow after Jesus, and they are absolutely still in ruins. I believe that's why you today, if you were sitting in that boat, are still in ruins. Because this is so deep, and I wish that I was even prepared, or not I'm prepared. I wish I was one who was an expert on this, but I'm not. And so, how does this look in our lives? Just some things I wrote down. When no control is in the house, no self-control is the vehicle for sin to run rampant in our lives. Those of us who battle with lies and overeating, harsh words, financial bondage, overcome with worry, sexual immorality, addictions, damaging anger, abuse, selfishness, staying in bondages, lack of serving, living idly, the very nature of our society has become what it is to lose self-control as a people. Isn't that what you've been taught when you were younger? Everything in moderation. I love that. Jen and I used to talk about that one all the time. You can do everything you want in moderation. Well, is that true? Because today I want to moderately go stick crack back up in myself and jump off a bridge. But a small bridge. A moderate bridge. Right? This is the thing. And I was praying this morning and trying to get over my own junk. I said, guys, this is the battle of your heart. This is why so many of you have been walking in bondage of addictions for 20 or 30 years. This is why some of us are battling anxiety and worry and things like that over and over and over again, is because even internally we can battle with self-control, right? When my mind goes haywire and I become a worry wart and my whole day is spent battling my mind, but I'm not even, honestly, to be honest, I'm not really battling, I'm just actually swimming in despair, that is a lack of self-control. And so, moving on. Two different parts. Number one, no self-control to stop doing these things and break the Lord's heart. And number two, no self-control to get out of living lethargic, spiritual, and engage God's mission. It happens two ways. Outward living on sin and just living like a loosey-goosey. Can we say, everybody say loosey-goosey? And number two, living mutely in your faith because your life is so uncontrolled. There's a problem. So we're just going to walk through today to talk about what it is to conquer this thing. Number one, here's the greatest point and a continual point of this whole series is you can't. Here's the problem. You can't. You are not going to be able to get self-control on your own two feet and with your own two hands. Can anybody in here this morning do me a favor and testify how well you've done trying to master? Don't just give me your Sunday school nonsense answers about, well, sometimes I have a trouble tithing a little bit, but once in a while we throw an extra 20. I'm talking about the deep thing that no one really knows about, the thing that you hide, the thing that beats your wife or your husband over the head over and over and over again, or your friends or your family. Tell me how good you have been at controlling yourself and self-control by yourself. It's impossible. But what does the scripture say? Number one, let's talk about this. it's from the Holy Spirit of God. And so for the last time in this sermon series, I'm going to say this, is that these are fruit of the Spirit because they only manifest themselves from God in us, out of us. Number one, amen? And so our job in that, again, is to what? Not quench it. You cannot gain self-control, but you can get out of the way so God's self-control through His Holy Spirit can come out of us and change our lives. This is the problem for me. This is what it's been with this. I have a lot of internal struggles and metabolic things, but if I was going to be honest and get down to the very heart of it, is that I keep trying to break and change things on my own, and then I end up discouraged in 2 weeks from now, and then I jump backwards. And then why am I even doing this? I just quit. I'm just giving up. I'm throwing it in again. And then I walk around in guilt and shame, and it happens over and over and over and over again. The problem is that I am not allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and take over and just lead my life, and I humbly submit. And then when I have issues and I start to bail and start to want to flip out, I'm like, okay, today is hard, but Lord, I am not going to give up. I'm just going to stay here in your presence, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to get family around me who wants to help me. It is because of me. I am blocking sometimes what the Holy Spirit wants to do in me. I'm blocking Him. Now, is it a process, and couldn't it take years to come out of bondage? Yes, but I'm going to tell you, 30 years in the same bondage, or 10 years where you haven't moved at all, has been a choice. It's a choice. And so, on the flip side, as we walk through some of these points, number one, here's my first point that I want you to get. With Him, it is possible. Say that out loud to your neighbor. And here's the part of the problem for some of us. I mean, I've just been a pastor with broken folks my whole pastorate, and so here's what I've come to find out. I wrote this down. If you're not convinced the self-control through the Holy Spirit can happen, you're never going to see freedom. Are you convinced? Do you really believe? I mean, come on, some of you. Let's just get the garbage out of the way. Are you really convinced that God can give you freedom from that sexual bondage? Do you really believe He can? Do you really believe that even though you've been walking in addictions for 20 years, that actually God can touch you and actually really heal you and pull you out? Do you believe that all those Christians that we kind of resent because they're goody goods and, oh, look, everything I touch is Jesus. Ah, we can actually, our His desire in our hearts is to transform us into people who are mature in Christ. You can actually be a person 20 years from now that has nothing to do with who you've been. Nothing. It can be a tale of two different books. You can look up on your stuff and go, man, remember so-and-so, the guy who was given into so much worry that he couldn't even sleep at night? And look where God has delivered me now as I have trusted Him and His Holy Spirit has filled me and He's healed me of some things. Look at what God has done. The question for all of us, especially, and I know some of you are like, yeah, I trust the Lord. I'm saying with your deepest, darkest junk, do you really feel that you can be set free? I'm talking about the anger you can't control, the hatred, the unforgiveness, your clamminess and not engaging the gospel. Do you really think that a guy who's a pretty good guy who's afraid to talk to anybody about Jesus and actually be on fire for the Lord can actually get out of the way, be touched by the Holy Spirit, and be used by God? Yeah, I know a bunch of them. Amen? Right, church mouse? Amen. Not that you're a guy. Here's what the scriptures say. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But But with the temptation, he'll also provide a way of escape that you might be able to endure it. It just said, any temptation that we come under, God always offers us a way out. Did you hear what I'm saying? It's possible. Tell me one sin that you've committed, Rob Dans, Brett. I know there's like three of them. But, I know, but tell me how many sins you've ever committed that you didn't have a way out. Ever? Doesn't he always give us a way out? Next, 1 Timothy 1:7. God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love. And we always love those first two. Man, God has given us a spirit of power, right? And a spirit, not of fear. But the end of that verse says a spirit of self-control. The ability to live differently and to live holy because he's holy is already inside every single one of us. Like there's four pointing back here, right? It's already here. If it's already here, and I'm a believer of Jesus, and I'm trying, then I have to have some kind of peace in that, because I'm not trying to find the willpower to say no. You see what I'm saying? It's not on me. It's an ideological problem. I need to find the willpower to say no. You already have something far beyond willpower. It's called God's spirit power in you that we have to learn how to submit. It's a totally different mind frame. It's different than trying hard. It's about dying harder. You hear me? Trying harder means I've got to. Dying more seems I just need to let my hands off this and let him do his thing. But the scriptures say it's already in each and every one of us. Every single one of you. Man, this is why I believe, and I know we have people here that aren't just addicts and wife abusers and all those kind of things. I know we've got normal people, and I don't mean to ever exclude you, but my heart is so driven by the extreme that I just, if it can happen to me, it can happen to every single one of you. It is so beautiful to see all of God's people set free. And I mean all of God's people set free. Man, there is an excuse that any single one of you at Miracles or Riverside, any single one of you, you don't have an excuse because he is in you if you are a believer. He wants to set you free, every single one of us, and use us in a new way. Everybody say it's possible.
Possible.
Amen. Number two, it gives God glory when we die to ourselves. This has become an anthem of my heart that didn't come naturally, only by the Holy Spirit. But when I say no to, when I resist the devil, James 4 says, when I resist the devil and he flees from me, guess what happens? I give God glory in it. That is what's happened to me, is that I've realized that I am a man who has nothing to stand on. I don't care how good of a life you've had or you haven't had. I had nothing. Now I have Jesus. Now I'm saved. And it gives God glory when I allow his Holy Spirit to come in me and take over. Do you understand that? That every no you say to your flesh is worship. It's glorifying God. Every time you say no to the stupid devil in your flesh that's been killing you for years, every time you say no to the devil and you say yes to God's kingdom. No, it's a perspective. Give God praise. I'm a schmuck. Listen, it gives him glory when you say no. Every no in the kingdom of darkness is a yes to the kingdom of God. It is literally a step-by-step manifestation of glory giving. Am I giving myself and the devil glory by walking in my flesh again, or am I going to say no to him this time? And it doesn't have to be no. Ha ha. Care Bear stare. That was weird. But man, if I'm holding on to a bar and every friend I've had is talking smack and nobody knows why I'm acting that way, but I still muster out a God help me, but no to the devil, does it give him glory? You are stinking right. And I don't mean you're stinking. And because we do it out of love, because we love, the scriptures say we love God because he loved us first. I am getting to the point in my life. Nice coffee. I'm getting to the point in my life that over this last year, I decided to tell the Lord, this is funny, but there are two big things that have been sticking out in my heart between my wife and I and the Lord, especially with me. It's just this physical thing and the state of our finances. And so over the last 2 years, those things have been collaborating. I've been having all kinds of physical issues. And the reason finally changed for me. The reason became less about, I want to become a good pastor to the viewpoint of people. That's true. But more so than that, I want to get everything off of me because I love him. I love him. He's given everything for me. Everything. And I want to say no to the continuation of the birth and growth of my flesh and yes to him. Do you think there's a thing on this earth that you are going to say no to that will leave an empty hole in you that God can't fill? Tell me what kind of dope will do that. Tell me what kind of sexual relationship for a night, or another thug dude that's going to treat you like a piece of trash, or another night on the computer, or another season of spending money you don't have. You tell me which one of those things are going to fill a hole in your heart that God, or leave a hole in your heart that God can't fill. Nothing. Nothing. But it's perspective. It's my mind. The devil has you tricked into thinking that if you don't have that anymore, if you don't have those people that are cancerous, somehow you're going to be on your own. But it's just the opposite. What happens is that you walk away from people who were killing you, and you walk in a life where there's a family of God. There's eternal salvation. There's peace and hope and joy. Amen? Amen. Here's the deal. The foundation of this is surrender. Everybody say surrender. Mark 8, 34 through 35, sorry to cough on you. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, Jesus said to them, this is what Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. It really has to come down to a decision for me. Am I tired of my life, and is it worthy of me taking up the cross? He wants us to die. He wants us to die. And for us, dying is dying to this thing inside of me that he wants me to surrender. Man, I pray weird sometimes, but my heart's prayer is like in this room, and I pray for the Church of Wichita and the world, but man, in this room, if all of us could realize and understand that we, including myself, could let go and surrender to his way, even when our hearts are broken or when we're having a hard time, and do it together and walk by the Spirit, you wouldn't be able to keep this place or these people down. You know, I got to be honest. My heart's desire is that we shut miracles down. Let me just share that little truth. What are you saying? Nobody's ever coming back from miracles because I said that. Our heart's desire is to shut down Riverside and shut down Ozanam Pathways. The point is that the church rises, surrenders to themselves, and runs after the broken and becomes so selfless in God's kingdom that there are no more fatherless and motherless children. There are no more punk addicts on the street without hope. There are no more dealers because they either repented or they got in my face and I handled them. God help me, I'm just saying that. To stop bringing dope into our city, that God heals it all and those things shut down in revival. That only happens with surrender. Surrender. And don't go back and tell your places that I said that. Matt. Yeah, out of necessity. Thank you, sister. That's a dear word. And so here are a few things that I kind of wrote last night as I was praying and over the last couple days of how on earth to get there. And this word abide is our next year's theme. And John 15:5 says, if a man would abide in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, he can do nothing. And so the word abide means to what? Remain in, stay in his presence, in him. If you remain in me, in my will, in my presence, the scriptures say, you will bear much, what are we talking about? Fruit of the Holy Spirit. You will bear much fruit, and apart from me, guess what? You can't do, I think all of us in here can write the book of the second half of that verse, right? We all know that we cannot do anything without him. I hope you know that. If not, you're going to find it out quickly. So on the first side of it is, if I remain in him, what does it mean? How on earth, and this is the best way to give no to the devil, is yes to the Lord and be in his presence. Every day, this is what's happening in through our church and my biggest prayer. Bible study time is no longer Bible study time. That when we draw near, when we start to read our word, and when we start to pray, it actually becomes about this Holy Spirit meeting every day. When we go to the Father's feet and we meet with the living God and we say this, every morning I start like this, Lord, you know my will, and you know my will doesn't work. God, I need you to lead me today. I want to follow you. I want you to make me follow you, whatever it takes. I want to walk in your ways. And then I beg God to walk with me for the rest of the day, because I know where I'm at. And so staying in the Lord. And so let me give you this. I don't want to convince you anymore that you should just have, read your Bible every day and pray. Pray, 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 pray. And then you go, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll try to read the Bible and then I float off. How many of you are squirrel readers when it comes to Bible reading? Then the Lord said, huh? I'm choking on spit. Must be that hair dye. But here's the thing. Don't mimic me. Is that the reason, here's what's been changing in my heart and a bunch of us in this church lately, is that, man, we wanna be in God's word and be in God's presence because it gives us power. It gives us correction. It gives us encouragement. If you're looking at your Bible like this huge, I have to do this thing problem, I get it. I've been there. But there's so much more to being in your word and praying. God like meets us there. The scriptures say, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. God will come and sit with you. He'll come and lead your day. I just have to want to be there. Amen? So I'm praying that we all change our hearts about why we study the word and why we pray. Amen? So the scripture talks about this thing, about what it is to renew our mind on this. Okay, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good, and what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Listen to this. In Mark 7, this is what Jesus says. For from within, out of the heart of man, here's what comes. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. And verse 23 says, all of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Does anybody know that the self-help book business would suck if they just read scripture? Do you know what I'm saying? Listen to what the scriptures just say. All of the problems that we deal with that come in our lives start where? Right? I know there's some outward manifestations and the devil pops our tires and all those kind of things, right? But our biggest problem is within me. All of these things that come started where? Yeah, do you see where the problem is? If the problems start in me, if my pornography addiction or my food addiction, it doesn't just come from without. Well, I hung out with addicts, and that's how I became an addict. Wrong! There's something inside of you that's wrong. The scripture just said we all have it in us. Self-help doesn't help this. Ignore this part, guys. You're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, Jesus likes you. Right? It doesn't work that way. So the scriptures say in us. And so getting control of ourselves is internal. And so listen to this, Matthew 5:27-28. You have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery within his heart with her. What did Jesus just say? Not only if I go sleep with a woman, that's adultery, right? Jesus was showing us this world a little bit about what it is in self-control. And so he said, hey, if you so much as look at her with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery. Now, for those of you who are externally perfect, how are you internally? Anyone? Inside your head is just moonbeams and butterflies and Jesus worship. Chris Tomlin resides in your head all day long. Don't get me started on Chris Tomlin. All day long, and he's just leading worship songs in your head all day long, and your thought, you won't testify to this, that the problems start internally. Where does hate begin? Where does unforgiveness begin? Where does lust begin? Where does uncontrollable mouths, did they just, all of a sudden your mouth just starts cussing and telling people to go to Hades and it didn't happen internally?
I don't know what happened. I was just going to love you and pray for you, and then my mouth took over and went blah, 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 blah.
Anyone? I don't want to preach to somebody that's here that shouldn't be preached at. Anyone? It's in internal. Everybody say internal. So how on earth do I deal with that? What do I do? The scripture gives us a couple helpful points. Number one, everybody say this, you need to take out the trash. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. This is one of the best things I've ever heard from my spiritual daddy, and one of the best things that I've ever taught people, I feel, is that you have to have a spiritual doo-doo pile in your head. You can call it whatever you want, right? So all day long, I have garbage coming into my head. You are worthless, or look at that woman, or check out that, or why don't you get on the computer? Or, you know what? You're feeling bad today. Why don't you go blow a bunch of stinking money you don't have? And da 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 da. And these things start to take over. And guess what? Every affair started with someone's thought process. Every person who murdered somebody began with the thought process. And so listen to this. It starts in your mind. And so you have to become a professional do-do taker outer piler haver person in your mind. And so this is what knowing the word, and this is what praying, and this is what being taught good scripture does for people, is that you know when you wake up in the morning and the Lord the devil comes in and says, you know what, today's going to be a horrible day and you're heartbroken and you have all this stuff going on. We have to purposely renew our mind. And so when we renew our mind, what do we have to do? You have to start talking to yourself like a psychopath, right? Some of you have already got that down. Easy. Okay, but you need to start internalizing. You know what? I know that that's garbage. I know what the scripture says, and then I am a new creation. I am new in Jesus Christ, and I am not my past, and this is not who I am. That is doo-doo. You start to get temptation about a woman that walks by, or lustful thoughts come in your head. How do you stop that from happening? Fight it! Talk about truths, and we're going to talk about this in a second. What is true about that girl that just walked by that's looking so fine? What's true about her in the scriptures? She's awesome. Okay, she might be awesome. What if she's not awesome? What if she's rude? Huh? She could be a child of God. She is God's creation. Is it okay, by the way, to notice that someone's beautiful? This church is full of beautiful women. Beautiful men, beautiful women. And I can say that out of a heart that isn't pervy. Can I say that? I can say that, Andy, I think you're beautiful. You're like a spiritual daughter to me. There is no anything in that. The problem is when I take the things that are beautiful in God's eyes that he created, like, man, the mountains are beautiful. Women are beautiful. Men, you know, I got to quit saying men are beautiful. You know, men, whatever. You know, women, whatever you think when you see some guy. You know, whatever. So, but the problem is that in your mind, it turns to lust. And so if we don't start claiming the truth on that, like, just when you start, man, what about when you're ramping up? And I see so many of you who, in the addiction thing, where you're like, man, I'm like 6 months sober, y'all. I'm 6 months sober. I'm like, yeah. And then I can see little choices just start to turn a little bit. About, man, I don't know if I want to be it, da 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 da. And I don't know if I wanted it. And you can see the thought process starting to go to the vulnerable. And I know, like clockwork, it's going to be soon and very soon where that person is going to jump off and back into addiction. It's in your mind. If addiction owns you in your mind, it will always own you in your outside. Always. And so tell everybody to take out the trash.
Take out the records and the trash.
And here's something that's challenging for me, the scriptures say. Everybody say, bring in the goods. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Here's my problem is I'm a pessimist. I see the worst in everything, everywhere as I look. I am programmed. I was inherited that. My mom is the world's greatest pessimist about stuff. Well, I know things are good right now, but I know that just someone's going to come over and step on me in a minute. I'm just pessimistic about everything. Are there any pessimists in the building? Amen. That's what I like about it. Some of you won't even raise your hand. You're so pessimistic. If I raise my hand, then you're just saying I'm a pessimist. This just said, if there is anything holy and true, anything honorable, anything precious to the Lord, put your mind on what? This is a spiritual discipline, y'all. Thinking about things that are good. How many of you search your mind in the middle of a battle of evil things and you're like, you know what? That woman, and she is God's beautiful creation. God, praise you for her. I pray that she is somebody's daughter, and God, I just give you glory for her life. Or that man. Or start to think when you think about when things and feelings that you want to start drinking again, or the porn's pulling you to the computer again, or whatever's going on, you can start to inject. Number one, it becomes proactive. You should have positive things in your mind first. But when battle comes, start injecting things that are holy. Like, man, last Sunday at church, Pastor Rob was a goof. Man, worship was amazing. God, remember when we sang, this is why you should have scripture on your heart and why you should have worship songs on your heart, because there have been times in my life where things start to shrink in my mind, evil, and I'm literally battling by starting to sing praise songs. Has anyone ever done that? Like the devil is coming to knock on your head again, and you're like, I will sing of your love forever. You know what I mean? And you just start giving God glory. I got to put my mind on the positive. We've talked about this before, like a man who goes away after he cleans his house and he comes back and he didn't fill anything in there. Well, guess what? More junk fills back in there. And so you've got to take out the trash and let in the good. And so if you're not a positive thinking person, you don't have to be a positive thinking person. Be a glorious person. Be someone who thinks about God's goodness and his glory and read the Bible. You know what? God is a good father. I've been worshiping with this song lately in my time with him about what a good father he is, because my mind wants to go through what fatherlessness has been my whole life. Fatherlessness. And so then I've been purposely putting this song of worship into how good of a father he is to replace the things of my mind to fill my heart. Because if not, I'm going to be bitter, I'm going to be angry, and I'm going to be unforgiving, and I'm going to think hateful thoughts. Fill it. Anybody with me? Fill it. Say fill it. Colossians 3 just backs us up, 1 through 4. We're around in the corner. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, listen to that, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. This just said, stop looking here for your joy, your contentment, your answers. When you turn on the news, how many of you just praise the Lord? What is it to focus on the things of heaven? Well, it means you focus on everything that is the opposite of what your flesh wants to tell you. God is good. We don't have any money right now, but man, God is a provider. And I might be lonely, and I think I need a man. You know what? God is the man to fill the hole. And can I say something just tangibly real quick for you men and women who are dealing with singleness, and some of you that are yoking yourself in a relationship and wanting to be with marriage? Can I tell you this? And I'm a total hypocrite, but why on earth would you yoke yourself to somebody who doesn't have any self-control? Why? Why would you yoke yourself into someone, even if you're going to get married in 2 weeks from now? I know some people are courting in here and getting ready, but if women, if you're looking for a man who you want to finally be a godly, good influence, a father to your children, a father to your future children, why on earth would you want to give your heart to a man that can't control himself? And men, if you're looking for a godly woman, why would you go and yoke yourself to a woman that would jump over the lines at any time? Because what happens later? You know what I'm saying? What happens later in someone's faith and in someone's life? You know what I love most about the story of courting, and now I'm just turning into a Duggar, and I'm going to be judged by this, right? And I'm not a Duggar, by the way, in any way. And so they come up here, and I love, and I know that I've messed up. I was not pure and holy and undefiled before I
I was with my wife and before I was married. I messed that up. But man, for those of us who have messed it up, you can recommit your heart to purity and quit selling your life to little boys who are not men of God, and they're not, maybe they'll be there someday, but why on earth would you yoke yourself to that? Women, you are beautiful princesses and daughters of God. Why would you sell yourself short to some guy who can't control himself? Listen, if we boil it all down, and I don't want to be inappropriate, but your life hinges on hormones and body parts. Seriously? That is not God's heart for his people. For those of us who have messed up, God has reconciled us, and you can recommit your heart to purity. Amen? But man, don't yoke yourself in any way, maybe not even just marriage, with people who can't control themselves. Hold out for something better because God has got. Anyway, I'm off that tangent. I usually don't take that turn very often. I'm just tired of you seeing, not tired of you. I'm tired of seeing a lot of you run right back in the heartbreak because you have emotions and not waiting for God to fill you in a way that only he can. Right? It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I always have a lot of extra scriptures, but we're running out of time. I wanted to end with this one, probably end with this one. This goes back to taking out the trash, but Matthew 5 says this, and this is where it's proactive. Remember, we can't build self-control, everybody, right? You can't manifest self-control naturally, but here's what you can do. If you know you're weak in an area, what can you do? We're always talking about tearing down the walls, right? But this scripture is specific about something else. You need to build some great walls. When you go into a brothel, you're probably going to fail. Is it bad to be in a brothel? This is so obviously, there's no trick here. Right. And so if you're going to hang out with a certain group of people that will continually bring you down and you walk into sin, or you're going to be with some guy who isn't a believer and doesn't follow Jesus, what can we do if you're not going to muster enough Holy Spirit self-control? What can you proactively do to be holy and guard yourself from that? Stay away! You need to make a big old bow stankety wall 20 feet spiritually tall to make sure you keep people out. Amen? And that's not, well, what if I offend them? What if you sin and offend and break God's heart again when you're with them? That's the comparison. Amen? There are certain people in my life that when I put myself in their presence, guess what happens? I fail or I really battle being around them. And so listen to what scripture says. This is one of my favorite verses, and this is like my anthem for having weight loss surgery in the next month. If you're right, and I know this is extreme, and so forgive me, we'll go back to peanuts and ponies and horses later. Matthew 5 says, if you're right, you know this verse, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members, God help me not to preach that way, that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. Now let me just preface this. I don't want to be too extreme. I tend to read things sometimes as literal. And so when I read that, I'm like, But we all know the issue here is the heart matter, right? So if my hand's not like working independently of me, right? Oh, I'm going to praise Jesus. Wait, stop. Don't touch that person, right? It doesn't happen that way. But it's clear that the scripture is very, very, very purposeful about if there is something in your life that causes you to sin, cut it off. Cut it off. There's this quote by the guy named Norman Harrison. You all know Norman Harrison, right? Me neither. One confesses sadly, listen to this, I don't know why I act this way. I just lose control of myself. And he says, that's a fine confession, but you're in the wrong side of the cross. Get over to his side, and his spirit will operate on your self-life that will operate on this that causes a lack of control. He will take you in hand. Spirit-controlled, you will genuinely, inwardly be self-controlled. Guys, you have to be proactive on cutting the things out of your life
that cause you to stumble. And people will be like, well, I can't just throw away my computer, because if I throw away my computer, then you start getting, it's bad stewardship. We spent $1,000 on that computer. I don't want to be a bad steward. Guys, listen to what this says. Listen to me. If there is a relationship that is toxic, get it out. You have to renew your mind. If he is first and he is holy and he is my Father and I want to honor and glorify him, anyone or anything that gets in the way of that, one way or another, you need to cut it out. All of you have dope buddies, right? Everybody used to have a dope buddy. You know what a dope buddy is? A dope buddy where you would hang out with dope buddy and you guys were buddies because you did dope together. When you hang out with your dope buddy, you want to go evangelize and reach him 2 weeks after you become saved. And then you end up, I failed at that. What should you do next time? Yeah, if you're around certain people in certain relationships, what should you do? Run away. And most of you think that that's cowardly, or if you'll offend somebody. If you walk in holiness, yet offend somebody walking in sin, what is the problem? And so a million times I've heard this, Pastor, I'm done. I'm done with so-and-so, and I'm done with this and that, and I know every time I just drive by that zip code, we end up sleeping together. I don't know what happens. It just happens randomly. And she's like, and I've heard this from men and women, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be around those people. And then what happens? Listen to me. Some of you need to hear me on this. Some of you have people in your life that you run back to, and the reason why you run back to is because you know that you want to be filled in that way, and you are not wanting to walk in holiness with Christ. Some of you know that there is a relationship with somebody that is nothing but toxic, and the reason why you don't want to let go is because it's kind of comfortable. And it's kind of affirming in your spirit when you're lonely. But you know it breaks God's heart. But you know very well that when you sit here and confess that you're done, you know you're going to run right back. I get it. I understand being lonely and needing fulfillment. But what you're going to do is you're going to stay in the same rut over and over and over again. And your fellowship with the Lord is broken. It's broken. And it doesn't just have to be an affair. Some of you who work with people that are negative, how many of you work with folks that are negative? You know, I remember jobs where I went into, I was like, oh, I love this job, it's going to be awesome. And then I start hanging out, you know, usually it's the smoking section outside. And so I'd be hanging out with those guys, and all of a sudden, well, I hear da da da. And then you get, any of you work with toxic people, or you're in treatment with toxic people, and all they do is like, blah, 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 and then all of a sudden you find yourself going, and then you become one of those toxic people. Anyone, guess what? Get away! Be the person that doesn't sit outside with people who are going to do nothing but smack talk your boss or your pastor or your elders or your leaders, and be someone who is independent and walking with the Lord. Put yourself around people that encourage you and want to love you and want to spur you on to greater things instead of talk smack because they're so insecure and they're in a rut. Anyone say amen?
Amen.
We're going to stop. There's so much more here. This is it. This is what I ended the sermon with. If you have been a person, listen to this. I wrote this last night. This is restoration. Men and women who were once overcome by sexual temptation, big mouths that were full of coarse and harsh words, loveless relationships, addicts who were powerless, people losing the battle of mental illness and anxiety, people driven by money and greed and debt and stuff, now all of them have been restored and are walking in the opposite of where they have been. No longer at the mercy of their desires, but they walk in the power and grace of the living God. If you have been, quote unquote, easy, if you have sold your life into loose living and prostitution and dope and anxiety and you're a worry ward and you're so financially in debt like some of us and you worship credit cards and all these things, here's the point. This is what restoration is on earth. We have eternal restoration with our living God. Amen? But there's a restoration here. Imagine this whole room with the testimonies that we hear of gangbangers and hookers and thugs. And imagine us not walking in that anymore and we walk redefined. Redefined. What if we are all not so skittish and so unpeople-friendly? And what if we are not set free? What if the whole room walked redefined and we actually became people of self-control? For the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God's glory. Amen? Stand up, let's pray. Lord, what else can I say? I'm so sorry. Lord, I come with a truly repentant heart personally, and I pray that those of us who are here would do this personally with you, God, that we come and, Lord, we ask forgiveness for our self-control issues. Lord, I have been running to things all of my life, especially even in my spiritual walk, Lord, it just blows my mind, that have been such a pattern in my life that I run right by the Holy Spirit contentment and power, and I run back to the things that make me comfortable. And sometimes maybe they're even for a good reason in my head, but Lord, they don't honor you. Lord, my prayer for myself and for this whole room is that we would be set free. I don't even know how to say that anymore. I want to scream it. I want to cry it. I want to yell it out, God, that you would fall on us in such a way by your Spirit. God, come right now. Lord, that you would come and set us free. God, money idolaters and worry idolaters and drug idolaters and sexual fulfillment idolaters and those of us who have lived mute Christian lives because we give in to our fear because we have no self-control even over our fears. We can't activate. That is a lack of self-control. Lord, we pray that you would come and heal us and, Lord, make us bold. Lord, I beg you that you would come, Lord Jesus. And God, I want victory over these things, not because I want to say that I have victory over these things to feel good about myself. Lord, I want to be free of the ordeal of me personally, my weight, and the things that have happened to us over the years of finances and my hateful thoughts, Lord Jesus, and my lustful mind. Lord, you are worthy of all those things. There isn't a thing that I carry in my heart that is evil, that is worthy of anything that you can give to me. God, it fails in comparison. Lord, I want to fill my mind with things that are holy and godly and optimistically saved and not living pessimistically by the world. Lord, I want to live in control of our minds, and we know that we can't do that without your Holy Spirit. But Lord, some of us just need to start with repentance. Lord, we need to come and confess and ask for healing. We are not made and empowered by your Spirit to be slaves to computers and money and thoughts. Lord, we don't want to be just saved. We want to be set free. And so, Lord, anyone and everyone in this room today, God, that has been coming up short, Lord, I pray that this would be a time of confession, this would be a time of repentance, and this would be a time that we would ask together the Holy Spirit to come and fill us, Lord Jesus, for your glory, and that, Father God, right now you would begin healing this room and empowering men and women who have been lost in the lack of self-control for years. God, we want to be new. We want to walk in our newness. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would come. We're going to sing one last song this